I found a very fanciful story about the time when God was creating everything, and he speaks, and it speaks to our theme for today. I thought you might enjoy it. On the first day, God created the dog and said, "Sit all day by the door of your house and bark at anyone who comes in or walks by. For this, I will give you a lifespan of 20 years. The dog said, "That's a long time to be barking. How about only 10 years and I'll give you back the other 10? So God agreed. On the second day, God created the monkey and said, "Entertain people, do tricks and make them laugh. For this, I will give you a 20-year lifespan. The monkey said, "Monkey tricks for 20 years? That's a pretty long time to perform. How about I give you back 10 like the dog did?" And God agreed. On the third day, God created the cow and said, "You must go into the field with the farmer all day long and suffer under the sun. Have calves and give milk to support the farmer's family. For this, I will give you a lifespan of 60 years. The cow said, "That's kind of a tough life you want me to live for 60 years. How about 20 and I'll give back the other 40? And God agreed to this. On the fourth day, God created man and said, "Eat, sleep, play, marry, enjoy your life. For this, I will give you 20 years. But the man said, "Only 20 years? Could you possibly give me my 20? The 40 the cow gave back, the 10 the monkey gave back, and the 10 the dog gave back, and that makes 80. "Okay," God said, "you asked for it." So that is why for our first 20 years, we eat, sleep, play, and enjoy ourselves. For the next 40 years, we slave in the sun to support our families. For the next 10 years, we do monkey tricks to entertain the grandchildren. And for the last 10 years, we sit on the front porch and bark at everyone. Why am I here? What is the purpose of my life? Have you ever asked that question? Of course you have. Laying in a hospital bed recently for days on end, too weak to do much else, I pondered this question often. My soul resonated with the heartache of Ecclesiastes, which wallows in seeing life as nothing but vanity and most of our efforts as a waste of time. So why? What's the point? Perhaps you are familiar with a very funny but quite odd novel entitled The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Author Douglas Adams, who unfortunately has passed away, creates the story of a great big supercomputer called Deep Thought, which is tasked with coming up for the meaning of life, and the computer reports that it'll take 7.5 million years to compute that answer. When it is all through computing, it reports that the answer is, wait for it, 42. Of course, no one understands what that means, so they ask the computer to explain it, and it responds that it will take millions of years to report back on the explanation. Adam's point is this, is that answering why to life is a futile pursuit. But is it really? If it's so futile, why do we undertake it with such gusto? Dr. Seuss, we all know him. He gives a very interesting insight. He writes, as only he can, these words, "If you've never been born, then what would you be? You might be a fish or a toad on a tree. You might be a doorknob or three baked potatoes. Worse than that, you might be a wasn't. A wasn't just isn't. He just isn't present. But you, you are you. Now isn't that pleasant? Today you are you, and it's truer than true that there's no one alive who is youer than you. Shout loud, I am lucky to be what I am. Thank goodness I'm not just a clam or a ham or a dusty old jar of gooseberry jam. If I am what I am, and it's a great thing to be, if I say so myself, happy birthday to me. Why are we here? Well, I would be remiss if I didn't conclude that it's because God wants us to be here. God has created us to be us, not somebody else. God has a purpose for each one of us, and that is to be a child of God and to have fellowship with God, to be God's woman or man here in this place right now. We read in Genesis, then God said, let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness. God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. All of us are a special creation of God. Each of us is a blessing of God. We are more than a fish or a toad or a clam. We are the very image of God. Woman or man, young or old, happy or sad, we are here because God wants us to be here. We are here because God put us here. On the other hand, we may wonder at times what God has in mind for us. Humanity often doesn't seem so wonderful. You just read the newspaper or turn on the television, and human beings, well, we're mixed up in all kinds of terrible stuff. Malcolm Muggeridge looked around and he commented this way, our time is probably the most degraded and unilluminated ever to come to pass on this earth. Science and education have promised us a brave new world, but supermarkets, the rainbow ending at the nearest bingo hall, leisure burgeoning out of multitudes of shining television aerials, rising like dreaming spires in the skies, happiness in as many colors as there are pills, green and yellow and blue and red and shining white, many mansions of light and chromium ever upward. It's kind of sad, isn't it? And then we look at the pictures of the effects of hurricanes and floods. People who have nothing left, they don't have homes, they don't have jobs anymore, there's no hope. And it's easy to find blame, isn't it? In New Orleans, some people say it was a hedonistic city and they were punished. There, it was environmental degradation, there was poor government, there was bad management, all of it led to the disaster. Yes, we can learn from disasters and we can learn plenty. But what we need to learn too is that we have a common humanity. We are human beings more alike than we are different. A familiar saying goes like this. I looked at my brother through the telescope of criticism and said, how coarse my brother is. I looked at my brother through the microscope of scorn and I said, how small my brother is. I looked into the mirror of truth and I said, how like me my brother is. What about Martin Luther? What does he say about our common humanity? It's a bit crass, but it's a very powerful quote. What good comes of man, he wrote. He eats and drinks only the best bread, wine, beer, precious spices too. He excretes nothing but corruption and snot and sputum and matter and sweat and sores and pox and scruff and slough and discharge and pus and dung and urine. He clothes himself in satin and gold, spreads lice, nits, fleas, and other vermin. What a delightful picture, isn't it? That's what Martin Luther, the father of our Reformation, said. But his point is quite valid. We often wonder who we are and why we are here. One of my favorite writers and inspirations, I think, Dietrich Bonhoeffer raised this question too. Who am I? And he did so behind the walls of a Nazi prison. He considered the contradictory answers of others in light of how he saw himself. To others, he appeared strong and serene and self-sufficient. To himself, he saw himself as sick and empty and weary. But in all this, his trembling faith affirmed, "Whoever I am, thou knowest, O Lord, I am thine." Even as we recognize our failings, we also hear God's word to us. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. Once you were no people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. While we were yet sinners, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. We are at the same time saints and sinners, people who fall short of God's intention and are righteous people for God. St. Paul in his letter to the Philippians describes his predicament. "For to me, living is Christ and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is better, but to remain in the flesh is necessary for you." Paul wondered what his purpose was. Why was he still on earth when he wanted dearly to be with his Lord? The answer he gives: to live is Christ and to die is gain. He recognized clearly that he was here for a purpose. He was here for fellowship with God in his life and also for eternal life. You are here for the same reason. You are God's child. You are made in God's image. You are here to bring others to a knowledge of the truth which is in Jesus Christ and to glorify God in your life. I imagine we were having a conversation, you and I, and you were telling me about someone you knew, an older man perhaps, who said he was an atheist. He did not believe in the existence of God. We all know lots of people like that. In response, you told him, "You love nature and the beauty all around you. Can't you recognize the person who created this beautiful creation?" When he asked about God, you defended God as Gospel John says, "God is love." Well, that's a very good answer to say that God is love. St. Augustine once defined God simply, "God is love, and that is all you need to know about God." And now you might tell me the man is starting to ask questions. It is often said that the only Bible the world will ever read is you and I. You can be a Bible for your friends and your neighbors as they see your faith in your life worked out in the grace of God. We read in the newspapers recently how after the death of Billy Graham, the great crusades and the rallies of the past century may not continue into the future. This is certainly true with the COVID situation. I'm not sure that's a bad thing. I think that the way to reach people today is a much quieter one. It's one-on-one, letting other people know that we care about them and that God cares for them too. Jim Wallace, the editor of Sojourners magazine, uses an excellent phrase for us today. We are the ones that the world has been waiting for. We are the prophets and the sages and the witness today. We are the disciples and apostles to this community at this time. We are the chosen people of God for our neighborhoods, our apartment building, our schools, even the golf course. Sometimes, as a pastor, it is older people who ask me the question, "Why am I here?" Often I'm asked this in the context of why they live on while others are struck down in the very prime of their lives. What would we say to someone who's lived to, say, 101? I would hope they would have had an answer to that question of why by now. But it comes down to our lesson from our scripture today. So long as they have life and breath, they can pray. Even when we no longer teach Sunday school or we serve church suppers or even contribute to the offering, we can always pray. We can pray and pray for the church and its leadership, for the sick and the lonely, for those who are troubled, and especially in these days, we can pray for our children and our young people as they go off to school every day. We maybe are willing and even longing to be with our Lord. But we also know that so long as we live here on this earth, we have a reason and a purpose for living. There was a group of tourists who were traveling through Europe visiting historical sites. They were impressed with so many small villages where they were found to be in the birthplaces of great artists and poets and composers and political leaders. And while the group was strolling through a particularly picturesque village, one of the tourists approached a man who was sitting in front of a building and asked him, "Excuse me, were any great men or women born in this village?" The old man thought for a moment and replied, "No, only great babies." The old man's point is correct. No great men or women are born that way. Not one. They are nurtured and taught. They are directed by God to achieving a great potential, far and far beyond what they were ever thought to have achieved when they were born. All of us have a God-given potential and opportunity to do something great. Where you were born, who your parents are, what your education was, who your friends and family are, all combine in a recipe for a God-directed path. Now, to be honest, God doesn't promise that following faithfully the path laid out for us is going to be easy. Being God's witnesses may very well produce suffering. Paul says this is God's doing too. "For God has graciously granted you the privilege," he says, "not only of believing in Christ, but suffering for him as well, since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had and now hear that I still have." You and I, we're struggling human beings. We don't have all the answers. Why should we be any different from St. Paul, who admitted his own struggles? We are not called to know everything or be everything. It is enough to be who we are, a special child God created us to be. It is enough to believe and follow the Lord Jesus and allow ourselves to be used to glorify God. I think it's time for us to be thankful that we're not a fish or a toad or a clam or a baked ham, but we are the person God made us to be. Who am I? I am God's child. Why am I here? To be just who I am.